welcome to the Liberty Church podcast. We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the word of God, you are encouraged and challenged and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
But don't worry about that. That is fine. You know when you don't do something for a couple of weeks and then you have to do it again? You have to learn quickly again, so we are learning in this process. Once you open your Bibles or get them ready, I want to share what's on our hearts today. And I say our hearts because we don't in isolation prepare the Word of God. We don't just decide what we're going to preach each of us during there. We actually sit together and discuss what God is saying to the church, what He's saying to each of us. And then we bring it together as a group of people and hopefully bring a more of a fullness of a picture of the heart of God to you. But just as we were preparing, Graham, one of our eldership team, said this. He said, if you're having a problem with together down here, you're probably having a problem with together up there. Isn't that true? When we bring it all down to the root of the cause, when we bring down our mistrust as believers, our inability to engage and be together, it all comes down to this vertical thing here. Why don't you trust people? Because you don't trust God. I don't trust God. That is it. I don't trust God to help me navigate. Why don't I do the together thing well? Because I'm not doing the together thing well up there. Oh, but Heath, you don't understand. No, it really just comes down to that, because God's the healer of our hearts. He's the navigator of our paths. He knows our comings and our goings. And let's just settle it. Let's just be really to the point. We need to get it together with Him, because He desires intimacy. He's always available, and He wants us to come into true relationship with Him. But as you've got your Bibles today, as we move on in this, it's not a series. We really feel it's the heart of God for us right now. And in everything that's going on in the world, we truly sense that it is. I'm just gonna make sure that I'm gonna try and keep to my time today for you guys. But this is what I felt God say. Together, or in the words of Kobe, TT, together is not something God is primarily first asking us to do. It is actually who He is. This is not something God is asking us to do. It is actually who He is. God is not asking us to love people. God is love. God is not asking us to come together. He is together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. TT, or together, is in the DNA, the essence of who God truly is. It is not a side product. It is not a byproduct. It is not something else. It is truly who He is. So in walking in it, in holding fast to it, in attaining it, in grabbing it, in protecting it, what we're actually doing is taking the nature of God and saying, I am going to walk in the nature of who He is. I don't want to jump ahead, because you and me were made in His image. Are you ready for scripture this morning? Because you're like, I don't see that. Good. Open your Bibles. And if you can't get to flick all over the place, just follow me and you can rewind this thing later on and listen to it again. Genesis chapter 1. Watch this now. All three present and the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God, here's the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the waters. And God, the Father, said, let there be light. There was the Word. There's the Spirit, there's the Father, and there's Jesus right there in the beginning. Let's go skip a little. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. And let's look at baptism. This is Jesus getting baptized. And after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened. And he saw the Spirit of God, here's the Holy Spirit, descending as a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven, here's the Father going to speak, this is my Son who I'm loved, with Him I am well pleased. Let's go to Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Not just one, together. John 14, 26, this is Jesus speaking, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, this is Jesus speaking, whom my Father will send in my name, Jesus, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. All the time, it's together together. Acts 1 verse 4. We love Acts. We love Acts. Everybody's been tired here. Not everybody. Loads of people been telling me, I want to be the church in Acts in this season. Great. All get one bank account, sell everything, put it in one pot, and make sure you devote yourselves to a doctrine. Not who's got a good idea for the day to preach. Sorry, I got a bit of a thing on that. But gathering them together, Acts 1 verse 4, he, Jesus, commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me, Jesus. And what was the promise? That the Holy Spirit was going to come and baptize you. Yeah. All the time. I mean, I've got another 20 scriptures to go here. We're not going to go through them all. I'll give you two more. All the time, it's together, together. Ephesians 2:18. For through him, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. All the time. 1 Peter 1:2. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Let's read again. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullness of measure. All the time, it is together, together. Get to Revelation. We started at the beginning. We've skipped a little bit. Now let's come to the end of the book. Revelation, and it says in chapters 4 and 5, I can't go through every scripture. This is what it does. It showcases how the Father honors the Son as the King whose ministry is anointed by the Spirit. Yeah. Revelation shows us, read it, read when you got time, chapter 4 and 5. It showcases how the Father honors the Son as the King whose ministry is anointed by the Spirit. So if you're confused, if you're not sure where together, together comes from, it comes from the essence and the heart of God. In the beginning, throughout the scripture, and I've done a quick whistle-stop tour through some of them, and right at the end, God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is still operating as one. And watch this. Right in the beginning again, he says this, and you and me are made in his image. Let that settle with you. And you and me are made in his image. Genesis 1:26. Oh, Heath, this is a lot of scripture. Well, the truth sets us free, and knowing it sets us free. Then God said, let us, which is a language of together, make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them, not him, them, there was going to be more than one, let them have dominion. And he goes on to say what they're going to have dominion. They're not going to have dominion in isolation. They're going to have dominion together. Do you recognize in this season that the enemy is coming to bring division so we can't have dominion? Do you recognize that the enemy is splitting apart so we can't rule and reign as new believers how we truly should rule and reign? Because I need you and you need me, and together we bring the fullness of who Christ is. I've just felt God say the greatest creation, which is you and me, let's just be clear. I love animals. Not really. I don't really want pets, but you know, they're great. The greatest creation is you and me. God's crowning thing, before that, it was preceded by a divine consultation. I'll say that again. The greatest creation was preceded by a divine consultation. Great creativity flows and flowed from a divine consultation. What are you talking about? Read the creation story. There's all this going on, and then suddenly there's a pause before man was created. And then they had a meeting. Hey guys, let's get together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and let's decide how this next thing is going to go. Let's talk about it. And it says, and they made us in their image. Because there was going to be, why did it need that divine consultation, that divine meeting? Because there was going to be a divine relationship which would have an eternal impact. You and me will live forever. That's a done deal. That's what the scripture says. Where we reside after this thing goes, this body, that's up to a decision that you and me get to choose. But because there was going to be a divine relationship which would take place, it would affect eternity. The creator and the created in relationship, his heart for eternity. The result of together was an eternal impact, and that was you and me. You are the result of together. Let's not go too in biology, but you were a result of together. One thing and one egg and sperm met and you came. You cannot come together unless there are elements that bring you together. Let us make man in our image. So why on this planet do we continue or think that we can maintain or mature or walk in or run our own race on our own? Where on earth did we get that idea from? This season is revealing whether together have we got it here, and then we can live it out vertical amongst us, amongst our families, amongst our marriages, amongst our children, amongst our churches. This is not the moment for my biggest idea. This is the time where we sit and we pray together. This is the time where we gather together. This is the time we invest together. Running to our home, shutting the door, and just saying, oh, well, I'm doing the greatest thing for this planet by not talking to anybody, by being in isolation, is rubbish. It is absolute rubbish. Great. If you feel like you got to sit at home and be there, and that's where you want to be, excellent. We want to follow what the law is, but that doesn't mean you negate connection. Yeah. It doesn't mean you pull back from engaging with the saints. It doesn't mean that you call somebody and see how they're doing. It doesn't mean that you pray for the unity of the saints. It doesn't mean that you hold on to that and defend that. In Ephesians 4, which has been the key scripture for us, says, make every effort to guard the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What's Paul saying there? I just want to reemphasize. We know, first he's saying, make unity a priority. It's got to be a priority, and we defend what is a priority. And the second thing is, unity is something that needs to be treasured, kept, and guarded. Do you know that the unity of the Spirit is precious, but it's fragile? It's fragile. My heart of deciding not to engage with you and to see you in the flesh instead of in the spirit can break that unity. I want to show you that in a moment. And as I was running yesterday morning, I felt God say there is an exodus taking place. Mm-hmm. There is an exodus taking place in two areas, an exodus from my heart. This is amongst believers. I'm not talking about the rest of the world. I'm talking about believers. There is an exodus of thinking, mindsets, which leave behind slavery, isolation, and embrace together and want to protect and guard the unity. But there is also an exodus from maturity into my opinion, into places of division, and I don't agree with what they're saying, and so I'm going to break relationship. There is not a standing still going on here. There is an absolute, it's this way or it's that way. And I want to bring a bit of a warning on this. I'm very careful when you want to bring a warning word in a preach, because you want to be uplifting, you want to be encouraging, you want to go away feeling great. But actually in this season, we need to be warned. Most divisions begin with disagreement. They begin with disagreement. You with me, I with you. I agree this way, you agree that way. You even disagree with those close to you, those who are leading you in church. But they begin with disagreement. I see things one way and you see things another way. And then what happens is the disagreement begins to lead to disruption. Look at our nation. We are not in agreement, we are disagreed. Hmm. And in a way, the enemy with all the voices that are going on, let everybody disagree. But where we should be agreed is the voice and the heart of God and the church of Jesus. We need to get it together. We need to get it together. But disagreement leads to disruption. Disruption leads to distance. I need to separate myself from you. I need to come away from you. And distance leads to distortion. Disagreement leads to disruption. Disruption leads to distance. And distance leads to distortion. And when we're in distortion, we distort the truth. We do it. Take a husband and wife situation. When a husband goes off and says, wow, you know what? Have you heard my wife did X, Y, and Z? And he tells his friend. His friend goes off and then says, oh, do you know what? Do you know what his wife did? And he blows the story up a little bit more. And suddenly, all of a sudden, this wife is like, you know, some sort of demonic movement going on. When actually, it started with a small disagreement between a husband and a wife. It happens in the churches. Did you hear what that church is doing? Did you hear what that leader is doing? And as it goes down, whatever that whisper game we play is called Chinese whispers, suddenly it's this absolute distortion of what is the truth. Kobe preached it last week. You hear something, go and speak to the person. Don't let distortion come in and create opinions that are not even true. Of course we won't, Heath. Yeah, that's what God hoped in the beginning. Of course we won't do that. No, that's what God hoped would take place. I want to take you back into Genesis again, where the enemy, the devil himself, has a conversation with Eve. You see, let's take a step even further back. Satan disagreed with God. He disagreed. And he said, I want to take the place that I think I belong in. You know, the church is a body, or it's like a team, and God is coach. And he says, I know your ability. I know your gifting. I know what's in you. I know your character. I need you to play left back in this season. I need you to play in the center of midfield. I need you to play on the wing. And we get stand there. We stomp our feet. I don't want to play there. I want to play a striker. I want to score the goal. I want to be on TV. I want whatever the deal is. Well, I'm not good enough. I can't do that. And God says, I know you better than you. Won't you just step into the place of the body where I've called you to step in? And Satan in that moment says, no, I'm really sorry. I think, in my opinion, in my personal opinion, I can do a better job than you, God. And God says, that ain't gonna happen. You see, while God is understanding and he's loving, he's also sovereign, and you are not taking his place. And if we decide to come against, there is a time where God may just say, just sit there for a moment, because I'm still going to accomplish my plans and my purposes, but obedience is part of that plan. And so Satan then comes out of relationship with God and he decides he's doing his own thing. And then we see this place of the conversation between the enemy and Eve. We begin to see it. And I want to say to you, be wise in this season who you are listening to. Good. You know, my heart is breaking. I spoke to two leaders yesterday in church. You know what? And they said, Heath, we were struggling because the people we thought that would never come against us are coming against us out of small disagreements based on what is going on. Now, I'm not sure the last time anybody ever actually called me and said, hey, Heath, what do you feel the heart of God is as a leader for what's going on in this region, in this city? Everybody's waiting for the Facebook status. Everybody's waiting for the social media moment. And they're ready to demonize or pedestalize whatever that moment is. Mm. You see, a social media doesn't capture the heart of who we are. It's just words and a statement. Mm. Those that are leading you, Ask them what they're carrying, because I understand this as I am submitted to those that look after me. I came into that relationship and I said, I want to submit to you. I want you to speak into my life. I want to hear your heart. Now, that doesn't mean in the good time. That means in the pandemic, whose voice am I willing to listen to? So we get caught up in the media posts, the opinions, and the different points, but we forget to submit ourselves to those we have declared. God, thank you for allowing them to shepherd me. Thank you, God, for bringing me into this family. Thank you, God, for bringing them in and giving me wisdom. But all the pandemic's on, I don't give a monkey's what you say, because now you're not really that important, everybody else's voices. Why do we go there? Because ultimately we don't trust God. But here's the conversation between Eve and the serpent. God said in the beginning, we're not going to do this thing alone. It's not good for man to be alone. And somehow the serpent creates a circumstance where he gets Eve alone and he begins to have a conversation. And what does he do? He poses a question. Are you sure? Is that really? And he plays dumb. He plays dumb. Almost as if he doesn't know. He knows. He knows. And Eve buys into it. No, let me explain it to you. Let me get you to understand what's going on. What is interesting is you read that encounter and then you follow the scriptures afterwards. You never see the conversation where Eve maybe, and it doesn't look like there's one, go home and says, hey, Adam, do you know what? I've had a conversation with this serpent today. And this is what he said. And I don't know, that's going against what God says. And you and me are in covenant, Adam, and we're in covenant with God. And this is our close relationship. But there's a voice from outside of this coming to say some things. And I'm feeling myself starting to hold a little value to this. Even in that conversation, Adam doesn't come alongside and go, hey, Eve, you know what? I don't think we should be talking to him. Let's go talk to God who loves us, who cares for us, who created us. And just let's get his thoughts on this so we can have this conversation with him and let him be our primary input. Even when they got to the point of eating the apple, Adam stands there, says he's there. And then he partakes. You know, we've got to lead in this season.
Yeah.
We don't need to silence our voice. We've got to stand up and say, no, that is not the voice of God. This is the voice of God. These are the people of God that he's put in place to encourage us and lead us and direct us. But what happens there is catastrophic. The result of not being together and prioritizing and protecting the together is catastrophic. They listened, both of them, to a selfish, hurt, wounded, prideful, deceiving voice. They allowed the voice to come in and bring division. They allowed a voice outside of what they said. This is our key voices. This is our covenant. And they chose to bend their ear to something else. And it ended in catastrophe. But Jesus came, thank goodness. And he has a rescue plan. But we can say, thank goodness for Jesus. But oh, let us learn. This season, it's revealing, and I'm going to bring this to a wrap in a couple of minutes. This season, it's revealing that if we don't guard the unity of the Spirit, if we negate the right voices into our lives and into our churches, we do not get to see the fullness of God. Read a little further in Ephesians. And I'm just going to touch on this because in 2 weeks' time, Gary Morgan's going to preach, not just to us, but he's going to preach to the region and to the nation and on King and his kingdom. And he's going to touch a bit more on this. But in Ephesians 4:11, it says, and he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of faith. Go home and read it. Maybe you are at home. You can read it now. Do you know that happens because in the beginning, they guard and protect the unity. Unity allows these voices, these apostolic voices, prophetic voices, teachers, the pastors, the voice of those elders in your church, leaders, to actually be significant. Why? Because we've protected the unity. And what is it? Unity. What does it do? It brings opportunity for equipping, building, not just blessing. Oh, please, we're here to build some stuff. I love blessing, but be sure we're building maturity for growing up and for actually working this thing out properly. Together. When we decide and understand that this is not something God is asking us to do, it is who He is throughout the scripture. It's a direct result of who God is. It's also through His initiative and grace. It's a gift. It came about because of His faithfulness. God doesn't just do faithfulness. He is faithfulness. God doesn't do love. He is love. We begin to walk in the things that He's called us to walk in this season. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Read your scriptures. It's all over this place. It's all over the place. And it is throughout the scripture all the time. Be wary of division. Be wary of disagreement. It brings disruption. Be wary of disruption. It leads to distance. Be wary of distance. It leads to distortion. If you're not sure And I want to say this to you. If you're not sure why your church leader is saying what he's saying, or you're not sure they're saying anything, do you know what? Call him. Ask him. Say, what do you sense God is saying as a team, as a people? Why? Because we want to honor those who've God's placed to help us and lead us in this season. The government's voice is good and it's big. But you know what? The voice of God comes through those around us. I'm not pedestaling people here. I'm telling you how the kingdom works. There is an order. There is an order. You're not going to get to heaven one day and start telling Jesus what he should and shouldn't do. There is an order of how things go out. And whether we like it or not, God has put people over us. And he puts people alongside us. And what are we called to do? To pray for them. Not to criticize, not to demonize. We make every effort to keep this unity. And we invite the Holy Spirit to cultivate within us these four things. And I'll leave you with this. Humility, gentleness, patience, and love. We'll pick it up next week on those things. But let me just pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that we realize unity is not something of the Spirit, is not something that you just tell us to do. It is who you are throughout the Scriptures. Father, I pray that we are wise into the conversations. We listen, we hear, we understand those that you've brought us into relationship with. And Father, we don't want to pick on Eve. But we hope we learn from that, where we allow another voice in that is not part of the voices that you have positioned us around to bring us and question and take us off a track which can be absolutely catastrophic. Father, let us release forgiveness to people. Let us honor people. But let us understand together comes from the essence of who you are. In Jesus' name we pray.